Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guests at any point this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood and his special guest, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, you, and thank you to all of the area residents who are participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas that I've received come directly from my neighbors. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall. I am joined by my special guest, Suzanne Almeida, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania. We will discuss redistricting and the recent court case on gerrymandering, and we will answer your questions this evening. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press *3 on your phone. Let me now introduce our special guest, Suzanne Almeida, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much for having me, Senator.
Glad that you can make it. Would you want to share something briefly about what's going on with the league?
Sure. So for those of you on the phone who don't know, the league is a nonpartisan civic organization that deals with advocacy around a number of issues and voter engagement and voter education. Our work recently has been focused primarily on working to make sure that the maps that define the voting districts in Pennsylvania for the U.S. Congress are drawn fairly. So as part of that, we filed a lawsuit back in June, and it's been a pretty wild ride since then.
Senator, can you give just a little bit of background, and Suzanne, if you can contribute as well, provide a status update where we're at relative to reapportionment, the court case, and what folks may look at in the next week in terms of the process?
So certainly, fortunately, the League of Women Voters has taken the initiative, as Suzanne described, in litigating the congressional district lines in Pennsylvania, which have been excessively drawn to favor Republicans. There was excessive partisanship in the lines, resulting in 13 of our 18 districts being in the hands of Republicans. And so the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania gave us a timetable to look at redrawing the congressional lines. First deadline will be tomorrow. The Supreme Court gave the legislature, the House, and the Senate until February the 9th to come up with some new congressional lines that are more fair. Then they gave the governor until the 15th of February to approve or disapprove the maps that may come from the legislature. And then ultimately the Supreme Court reserves the power for itself to accept or reject what may come from the legislature or the governor, and it reserved the power to produce its own maps that it believes are fair. And so we are in, I guess, the middle or close to the middle of this process. February the 9th is the deadline for the legislature, and the legislature is not in session tomorrow, and we have not agreed to any maps. So it's clear to me that the legislature will not meet the February 9th deadline that the court imposed, and so we'll have to see what happens next. But in the final analysis, the state Supreme Court has reserved the power on its own to draw fair maps. That's where this case might end up.
Thank you, Senator. Just before we get Suzanne's comments, I just remind those that have joined us, if you have a question For Senator Haywood or a special guest this evening, you press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, it's star 3 on your phone's keypad. We're focusing on redistricting tonight. Suzanne, I want to go to you now for some comments, just as a follow-up to what Senator Haywood mentioned.
Sure. I mean, Senator Haywood covered the timetable really well. I think that we are certainly in an interesting part of the process where it's a lot of wait and see what happens. The other piece of that, of the court reserving the right to draw the maps, is that they invited all of the parties in the case to submit suggested maps to the court at the same February 15th deadline. So in addition to whatever comes out of the legislative process and the governor's approval or disapproval, all of the parties to the case have the ability to submit maps to the court. The court has also appointed its own expert to help in this process. Drawing maps is a pretty technical process, and so the court has given itself the tools to draw those maps if that becomes necessary.
Thank you, Suzanne. And just a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question, we're talking about reapportionment tonight with Senator Art Haywood and his special guest, Susanna Almeida from the League of Women Voters. Again, we're talking about reapportionment. If you have a question, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad. And Senator, a couple minutes, we'll be introducing a live poll question that the folks who are on the call can participate in. But Senator, we're going to go to our first call. Right now, we're going to Kevin. Kevin, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and his special guest this evening.
Yes. Hello, Art. This
yes,
is Kevin Ayers. Yes, thank you for representing us. I have two questions. One is, and apologies if you answered this while I was on the phone with the person taking my call. One is, does the gerrymandering case affect more than the U.S. representative seats, or is it just theirs? Does it affect your seat? And secondly, why did it take so long for this to become a case, given that these maps were drawn back in, 2011?
So I can answer the first question, Kevin, and thank you so much for calling. These maps only apply to the United States Congress House of Representatives. No other race, only U.S. Congress House of Representatives. It does not apply to the State House, does not apply to the State Senate. So only U.S. congressional representation. In terms of the timing as to why this got decided at this point, I don't have an answer to that. I have not been one of the litigants. I don't know if Suzanne has a perspective on that she may want to share.
Sure. So thank you for that question. I think that it's an important one. So part of the reason that we waited until this point in time to file the case is we have 3 cycles of data to look at to see whether this was an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander. I think that when we're looking at gerrymandering and trying to figure out kind of where that line is, one of the things that the state Supreme Court said was very persuasive to them was that they had all of the statistical analysis from 3 election cycles. And so by having that data and seeing that the 13-5 split did not change over the last 3 election cycles, regardless of vote totals or other factors, that was it really gave shape to the argument that this was an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander.
Suzanne, thank you very much for that. Senator, appreciate that. Just as a reminder for those that have joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad at star 3. Senator, we're going to go to Sylvia. Sylvia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood. Sylvia, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I was just interested in finding out how the redistricting process works. Those lines redrawn?
Thank you so much, Sylvia. So we have had a process where the state legislature has the power to draw district lines, and this is done after the census, which is taken every 10 years. And every 10 years, the census is taken so that the number of congresspersons is determined by population and by state. And so with the population that Pennsylvania had in 2010, we were allocated 18 congresspersons. Once the number of congresspersons is determined based upon our population, and then it's the legislature that determines where those congresspersons will, what districts, what areas of the state they will represent. One of the important principles of looking at where a congressperson represents is to see that they follow municipal government boundaries. So that, for instance, there may be congresspersons for the Philadelphia area. There may be congresspersons for Montgomery County or each county, as opposed to having congresspersons spread out in areas that don't have any kind of local affiliation. And this is one of the challenges from what the maps were drawn in 2011, is that the maps don't fit any kind of local boundaries whatsoever. And this is one of the challenges. So, but authority-wise, it's the legislature that has the authority to draw the maps. There are a number of proposals to change that, a number of proposals to do that.
Sylvia, thank you very much. Suzanne, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. The only thing I would add is to note that there is a difference in Pennsylvania between the way that we draw our congressional districts, which are the districts that we're dealing with the lawsuit, and the state house and the state senate districts.
The state legislative districts are drawn by a commission here in Pennsylvania, and that's very much different than the simple legislation that has to pass for the congressional reapportionment. So, Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now, but before we do, just a reminder, you press *3 on your phone's keypad for those that have just joined us. If you have a question for Senator Haywood and his special guest this evening, that's *3 on your phone's keypad. But our first live poll question tonight that everybody can participate in is as follows. Do you support the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's effort to create fair congressional districts for the 2018 elections? If you do, press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you press 2. Again, that question is, do you support the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's effort to create fair congressional districts for the 2018 elections? If you support that question, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. We're talking about reapportionment here tonight in the court case and all the things that are going on relative to that. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Margaret. Margaret, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Well, I was just wondering, what's the problem with Republicans having 13 out of 18 seats? And I wish you would explain it as if you're explaining it for a fifth grader.
Thank you so much. So the key problem is this. When the district lines were drawn in 2011, they were done so to give a significant advantage to Republicans. And as Suzanne mentioned, the significant advantage to Republicans after 3 election cycles proved to be the case. So who wins an election, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, should be decided by the voters. But what we have here instead are legislators carving up districts in a way to guarantee a victory for a certain party. I encourage you to look at the 7th Congressional District in Pennsylvania. And the 7th Congressional District in Pennsylvania is considered the worst or the most gerrymandered district in the nation, or one of them. And if you look at that district, you can see carve out after carve out, and it's all designed to increase the number of Republicans in the district. That is a district that has no geographic cohesion. It's not a square, it's not an octagon, it's not a triangle. There's no geographic cohesion to that district. And that is because individual towns, individual blocks were placed into the district for a partisan reason only.
Suzanne, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, a little bit. So it's a problem not just because it's Republicans versus Democrats, and I want to make that clear, at least coming from the League, right? The problem is that voters' votes aren't equal. And the way the districts were drawn punished voters for one party by either grouping them together or spreading them out, either way diluting their votes. And so this isn't, at least for the League of Women Voters, about Republicans versus Democrats. It's about fairness, and it's about ensuring that voters' votes get counted.
Margaret, thank you very much for your question. Again, if you have a question, we're talking about redistricting tonight. If you have a question, you press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. I'm going to go to Elizabeth next, but her question concerns an effort in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives regarding the Supreme Court justices who voted to overturn the reapportionment plan. So I'll go to Elizabeth now, just as that for a little bit of background. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Thank you. I read yesterday that Representative or Senator Dush, D-U-S-H, has proposed to the state House that five judges on the Court of Seven, that five of them be impeached. And I'm wondering if you are aware of that, because Senator MacArthur's office was not. And while on the phone with his aide, they looked it up and said, yes, this is true. And so I'm wondering if you're aware of it, and if you are aware of it, what is going to happen going forward? I also do have a comment about the districts that our state constitution says that our districts should be compact and contiguous, and the gerrymandering is anything but that. So, but my question really is about the impeachment of the five judges.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Yes, that has been reported in the newspapers, and I am aware of it. The House is not in session, so I don't know if and when that would be taken up. Just because an individual member of the House makes a proposal doesn't mean it will have any legs and go anywhere. I am a member of the Senate and not the House, so I'm not really in a position to predict what may happen there. But I will say this. Just because the Supreme Court renders a decision that is unfavorable to some legislators, those are not grounds for impeachment. The entire job of the court is to make independent judgments on legal decisions, whether the legislature agrees with them or doesn't agree with them. And so I don't think that the grounds for impeachment exist, and that I hope that the House members will see that as well.
Suzanne?
I mean, I think that that covers it. The only other caveat I would say is that this is just a co-sponsorship memo. So there hasn't been anything introduced, to my knowledge, which means that we're at least one step behind having it actually be heard in a committee.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for your question. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or a special guest tonight from the League of Women Voters, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3. We'll get some questions. Senator, we're going to go to Timothy in Eastmont Area. Timothy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good evening, Senator. My question is simple. Will this new districting affect the three congressmen that we have in Philadelphia? Because it's kind of interesting. I don't know how you're going to draw those lines. I haven't heard anything. I just know you're talking about it or arguing about it. Will that affect our three congressmen that we have here in the city? Thank you, sir.
Yes, it will. The district lines will be drawn, and it's likely to it could affect every congressperson amongst the 18.
Suzanne?
Nope, that's absolutely correct. I think that it's important to note that we can't just redraw some of the lines. We need to make sure that all of the districts in the congressional, all of the congressional districts, comport with what the Supreme Court has said and are fair and representative.
And one of the things I think the folks who have joined us here would be interested in is knowing, for example, the timeline. The petition timeline is coming up, and that affects all those that would be in the ballot coming up. Senator, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so the state candidates, or all the candidates other than the congressional candidates, are on the same timeline as was announced at the beginning of the year, where petitions start the 13th of February, and they've got to be in by the 6th of March. And we still got a primary in May. So that's all the candidates, except for the congressional candidates. The Secretary of State came up with a second, more delayed petition period for the congressional candidates, and whether that can hold depends, I think, to a significant degree on the status of litigation of what the Supreme Court has ordered. So I think the congressional candidate schedule and the election schedule for the congressional candidates is still somewhat uncertain, pending the resolution of the district lines. Even though the Secretary of State has come up with some new dates, I think that until we get a final set of maps from the Supreme Court, I think we're pretty much in a holding pattern in terms of what the congressional process will ultimately look like.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tim, for the call. If you have a question tonight for Senator Haywood and his special guest from the League of Women Voters, we're talking about redistricting tonight. You can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Denise. Denise, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Susan Almeida from the League of Women Voters.
Hi. I'm in West Philadelphia, and my question, part of it was answered with how they are going to make the decision to redistrict these areas in Pennsylvania. But I do have an additional question. There is a Supreme Court case that is going to be heard up with another state that is dealing with redistricting. Is that the Supreme Court decision for that state going to have any consequences for Pennsylvania if they decide not to do it?
So I would say, number one, thank you very much for your call. The Supreme Court is considering, the United States Supreme Court,
right,
is considering a number of districting decisions from lower courts. And, of course, we cannot predict what the U.S. Supreme Court will or will not do. I would think it depends on the principles that they use to determine the cases from other states. But it's entirely possible that the U.S. Supreme Court could come up with a decision that applies for every district drawn in the nation. Typically, the Supreme Court doesn't take that angle, and they often try to have a more narrow ruling. But I don't think any of us can really predict what the Supreme Court will do, whether they'll come up with a broad decision that affects every district or a more narrow one that really addresses the case that's before them. I would certainly hope that the United States Supreme Court recognizes the special power of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to make decisions on Pennsylvania law. And if that happens, then we'll be able to follow the Pennsylvania Supreme Court in this process. But I think it's very difficult, and I would not be – I've been a lawyer 30 years. I would not want to predict what the United States Supreme Court will do.
Suzanne?
So I agree. there's no predicting what the Supreme Court is going to do. We do know that when the legislative respondents asked the Supreme Court of the United States to stay the decision, Justice Alito said no. And so it's moving. That's why it's moving forward on this timeline. The other thing, and the senator alluded to this, is that this case was brought, this case that we're talking about today, was brought exclusively under the Pennsylvania Constitution. And the decision that the justices rendered was exclusively based on the Pennsylvania Constitution. So while it's certainly possible that the Supreme Court of the United States would issue a decision that could impact redistricting generally, it would likely not impact the specific decision because the specific decision is based only on state law.
Suzanne, thank you. Senator, thank you. Denise, that was a very good question. I'm going to follow that question up with Russell. Russell, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and a special guest from the League of Women Voters.
Yes, I'd like to know that if the Supreme Court does make a decision, and could it be overturned by, say, the Republicans, as if they don't like it?
Thank you so much, Russell. The Supreme Court decisions cannot be overturned. At least for the United States Supreme Court, unless there's a change to the Constitution, which the people can do, but that's a much longer process. But that applies to the U.S. Supreme Court. For the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, their decisions can, in some instances, be overturned by the United States Supreme Court. As Suzanne mentioned earlier, the United States Supreme Court explicitly refused to do that here. There's no party that can solely overturn any Supreme Court decision. There's no political party that can do that, whether Republican or Democrat.
Just as a follow-up to Russell's question, Senator Suzanne, if you can comment on this, what would be the next step relative to taking the state court to the U.S. Supreme Court? Is the case, as they would say, is it ripe for going to the court, or is that an issue that has to be confronted by anyone who would oppose the drawing of a new map?
I've heard the ripeness argument in this context. There may be some who complain that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court does not have the authority to draw maps on its own. And for those who believe that, that's a case that can't be taken to the United States Supreme Court until and unless the Pennsylvania Supreme Court begin to draw maps on their own. As Suzanne has mentioned, there are a number of ways to get maps from the League of Women Voters or the governor's office, a number of places to get maps that the Supreme Court could decide are valid. Without the Supreme Court adopting its own map. So that's the rightness argument that I have heard. I would say this. This is a matter that will, in my opinion, continue to be litigated. And we're not at the end of litigation. Even though the Supreme Court has not stopped the present course of action, I don't think we're near or at the end of litigation and possibly getting issues up to the United States Supreme Court.
Suzanne, do you have any comment, follow-up?
I would agree completely. I think that, you know, there's certainly that argument being made that there is more litigation on the way. I think it's likely. That being said, I think at this particular moment in time, or at least I hope, work is being done to make it so we don't keep litigating this forever, because the point of this lawsuit is not to engage in legal proceedings. It's so we get fair maps and so voters' votes are counted. So hopefully we will see a resolution sooner rather than later.
Russell, thank you very much for the call, and I appreciate the information. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or Susan Almeida from the League of Women Voters, concerning redistricting. You can press *3 on your phone's keypad. I also wanted to go back to our live poll question. The question is, do you support Pennsylvania Supreme Court's efforts to create fair congressional districts for the 2018 elections? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2 again. But if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Diane. Diane, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello. I'm from Glenside. My question is there any way to have an independent counsel that would be nonpartisan to redraw these lines versus the Democratic-controlled Supreme Court versus the Republican Senate or whoever does it on the other side? I'm sorry.
I understand. So there is a process that's in place that allows the legislature to draw these maps. So because there's already a legal process that's in statutes, it's part of the rule of law in Pennsylvania, coming up with another way to another group of people, independent or otherwise, I think would be extremely challenging and even further prolong the process. And I think it would be very difficult to find the clear authority for the court to come up with a set of individuals who would have that authority. So I think the although I understand what you're saying and it makes sense, I think there would have to be significant changes to Pennsylvania law to permit that to happen. At least that's my sense of it.
Diane, excuse me, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Michael. Michael, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator. The question that I originally intended to ask has already been answered. Can I ask this question? You mentioned earlier that the map is drawn based on the census.
Yes.
So is it likely or possible or has it ever happened that the number of congressional seats has either increased or decreased based on population increase or decrease?
Yes, that happens every 10 years, and I think that, thank you, Michael, dependent upon the population of Pennsylvania in 2020, which is the next census, we may have more or less congresspersons. And so I've heard some people think that we may go from 18 congresspersons for the entire state to 17, and that would mean that we would be back in this process in 2021, a year after the we get new census information and the number of congresspersons, and that in 2021 we could be right back here looking at what the congressional lines are. And this happens every 10 years.
Okay.
So this is part of our political process and has been for some significant part of time. The litigation here is more dramatic. But, yes, every 10 years there's a look at what our population is, how many congresspeople we get, and then the areas that they represent. So you're right. We're only 3 years away from a similar experience. Hopefully
Michael,
not exactly similar if we can get some fair district lines this time around. That could be a foundation for what we would do in 2011.
Suzanne?
Yeah, that's completely right. I think that the another important part as we're talking about redistricting is the importance of the census. So obviously this litigation is focused right now on what's happening at the moment in Pennsylvania. But as we're looking forward and as we're looking to 2020 and 2021, making sure that everyone is counted accurately means that we have better districts when we redraw the lines again in 2021.
Thank you very much for your question, Michael. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Christine. Christine, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello. Thank you very much for this call, both of you. It's pretty interesting, all the information so far. I'm just concerned at this point that my gut feeling is that the Republicans will not have a district, a new district plan ready. And in that case, I guess the Democrats can supply one. And then if that is deemed not good enough or whatever their reasoning may be, then the Supreme Court steps in and draws it. I'm just curious as to, do we have a map drawn at this point, and are we ready? And if we do, I'm curious to know who is involved in drawing that map. Is it the League of Women Voters? Is it the Democratic Party itself? If you could enlighten me on anything along those lines, I'd appreciate it.
Suzanne, this one might be a good one for you to jump in on that one, the maps.
Sure. So, to be really clear, the way that this process is set out to work is that the legislature itself, so that's Republicans and Democrats, are hopefully working together to get some maps to the governor. Then the governor can approve or not approve those maps. And again, hopefully that's done through discussion and consultation, and so everyone's on the same page. If that doesn't happen, or if the maps that come out of that process are not fair, then you're entirely right. The court does have the ability to draw, or gave itself the ability to draw the maps in its order. The court is also asking for maps from the people involved in the case. So petitioners, those 18 voters in the 18 districts, all of the respondents, including the governor, the lieutenant governor, the commissioner of elections, the secretary of state, and then the legislative respondents all have the ability to submit proposed maps to the court at that process. So, you know, we may have a lot of maps that the court is working from. There may be one or two maps that the court is working from. We just kind of, it's a wait and see at this point.
Christine, thank you very much for your call. If you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight about redistricting, press *3 on your phone's keypad. *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Thelma in Germantown. Thelma, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. Good evening, and thank you. One of my questions has already been answered, so I think I will address some concerns that I may have. Listening to the program this evening in terms of redistricting, I wanted to know how much impact does the census have in determining how many representatives or council people that might be needed, and also does the census determine how many Republican representatives or Democratic representatives that may be needed. Also, in terms of the Supreme Court, how many members on the Supreme Court is Republican versus Democrats? And is the bottom line basically is a party issue, whether it be more Democrat versus Republicans or vice versa?
Senator?
Thank you very much, Selma. Suzanne, I don't know, you somewhat addressed the census. Maybe you want to highlight that again?
Sure. So the census is just a count of every person that lives in the United States. It happens every 10 years. It's mandated by the federal Constitution. It has nothing to do with party affiliation. So it's just a count of the number of people. But that means that it's still really important because the number of representatives House of Representatives that each state gets is based on the population of that state. So making sure we have an accurate count means that we have the best, most accurate representation in the United States House of Representatives. It does not, again, have anything to do with party affiliation. So it doesn't have, the census count won't have anything to do with the number of Republicans or Democrats that are elected to Congress. It won't have anything to do with the number of Republicans or Democrats that Pennsylvanians elect to their Supreme Court. Those are all elections. That's all something that we as voters have complete control over.
Suzanne, thank you very much for that answer. And Thelma, appreciate the question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. But before we do, I want to introduce the second live poll question. That question is, do you support legislation that would have a nonpartisan commission create districts for the next redistricting? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Again, that question is, do you support legislation that would have a nonpartisan commission create districts for the next redistricting? If you support that, press 1 on your keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. And again, if you have a question about redistricting for Senator Haywood or Susanna Almeida from the League of Women Voters, you can ask it by pressing *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Michael. Michael, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
I think one of my questions was answered earlier, but my first question is, how do we find out where the actual boundaries exist today?
Thank you, Michael. So there are congressional district maps. One way to look for them, I usually do a Google search. The Committee of 70 in our area has the district maps. So those are two ways, at least two ways, to get the 18 district maps. Now, getting them in detail can be a little bit more challenging. When I say in detail, so you can see which blocks are in and which blocks are not in. I don't know, Suzanne, do you have a better approach so people can see maybe a block-by-block approach? But before you answer that, Suzanne, I did want to jump in with one thing. The last call at Thelma asked us about the importance of the census. And I just want to highlight, we have 18 congresspersons in Pennsylvania now. About 20 years ago, we had 25. And so because our population is declining, our congressional representation in relatively recent times has gone from 25 to 18. And so this is all a result of how many people are counted in Pennsylvania, and the smaller the number, the fewer congresspersons that we send to Washington, D.C. to represent the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Suzanne?
Yeah, you can. I think a Google search is probably the easiest way. You can also check fairdistrictspa.com. They have a lot of maps up there, as well as other information, but maps are certainly there. And there's a bunch of other tools that are out there that allow you to kind of look at where the lines are. One of the things that actually highlights for me that I just want to bring up for a second is part of the reason that we've seen this increase in gerrymandering is we now have technology that can show us how people are voting and what they tend to like and not like on a very very person-by-person basis, which means the lines can be drawn very precisely to carve out certain populations into or out of a district. I think that it's important to really look at those maps and ask yourselves not just, you know, does the shape look wrong to me, but what is the story behind those district lines? What's the purpose for, you know, putting this line where it is?
Michael, thank you very much for your question. I just wanted to follow it up as well and to provide website that folks can go to get the map and the legal description. Just to follow up with Suzanne and what the senator said, that's www.redistricting.state.pa.us. That's www.redistricting.state.pa.us, and that'll provide maps and the legal descriptions of the districts as well. So, Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Kim. Kim, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. What I want to know is, when they do the censoring, which I know they have done, I've been in my home for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They only did the census once since I've been here. So I'm trying to understand how they're saying that there's less people in, I guess, Philadelphia or Pennsylvania compared to other states. Also, these conferences that you're having as today, is this something that you will have more often, and will other people be able to attend these, you know, be part of the conferences? Will we be able to suggest to other friends and family members who are interested in these conferences to call in and to be part of it so that we are educated on what's going on in our neighborhood, in our city, in our state, because a lot of things that are going on in the state of Pennsylvania, it's not equal. It's not equal and it's not fair. And I live in Mount Airy, and I know this for a fact, okay, because through my years of working on a railroad, I've watched a lot of different things that has happened in different areas according to either the color of your skin or according to that particular district. And with this gerrymandering thing going on, there's going to be a lot of inequality going on for African Americans, and I'm going to keep it real, for black people or people who have less income. And that's the problem. Why are they trying to separate, you know, because the map is, the gerrymandering map is mainly designated according to income. It's not according to color skin, it's according to income. And that's where they're trying to squeeze the low income, what they consider low income, or the neighborhoods that don't pay as much taxes for their children or taxes for their homes. That's where they're trying to squeeze and minimize where they're letting that be the Democrat and the areas where they pay more taxes, and then the Republicans want to stand back and they want to carry those districts and give them more opportunities than they do in the lower income neighborhood.
Senator?
So thank you very much, Kim. Let me first address telephone town halls. I strongly agree. We have telephone town halls almost once a month. We've had the Attorney General on, who talked about consumer scams, someone from the Attorney General's office, during the holiday season. We had someone from the Department of State to describe the election process. Next month, we're having Dr. Val Arcus, a physician, to talk about opioids. And so I do believe that it's very important that we have these conferences almost on a monthly basis to bring information into the district so people can be aware, and you can certainly invite friends and relatives to join this call. I would only appreciate getting the information out to more people because I agree that not having information, not having education can put us at a significant disadvantage. So thank you very much, and please spread the word about these calls. I only want more people on to participate.
Kim, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question about redistricting, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. You can speak with Senator Haywood and Suzanne Almeida from the League of Women Voters. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers right now, and we're going to go to Veronica. Veronica, go ahead. You're live with Haywood.
Hi, my name is Veronica Harrison. I'm from Mount Airy. I was calling because I was wondering, what were the lines like before 2011? You know, were they fair at that time? And if they were, what's the possibility of them using the same lines or something similar?
Thank you very much for the call. Suzanne, I don't know if you want to address that prospect.
Sure. So they were better. Generally, the districts looked more compact, which meant that they were tighter together and contiguous, which means that all of the pieces, that they didn't have little funny tentacles hanging out everywhere. But they weren't perfect. There was certainly a lot of gerrymandering that was happening back then. And part of that is, like I said before, the technology, mapping technology and data mining technology, so the way that people can figure out information about individuals has progressed so far that it's really easy at this point to draw lines that are squiggly and don't make sense. While, you know, I think that I understand the suggestion to just go back to what we had prior to the 2011 maps, because the census is taken every 10 years, and in that process we learn about population shifts, where people have moved in the state, that means that it's not a one-to-one comparison, so we can't just use what we had before.
Suzanne, thank you very much for your answer to that question. Just as a follow-up, we're going to go back to the callers, but if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. We're going to go now to Karen. Karen, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, Senator Haywood, thanks for having this town hall. I wanted to ask about the Pennsylvania State Senate and Pennsylvania State House district lines, which are also very badly gerrymandered, but I don't believe are being dealt with under this lawsuit. So can you talk about what's being done to fix those lines and the process for them?
Thank you very much. And there are several pieces of legislation in the state Senate and the state House to change the decision making for those districts to make them even more bipartisan than they are currently. I have shared with the Fair District Advocates that I think it's very hard for the legislature to change the rules under which we would determine who's in the legislature. But the advocacy of individuals, I think, is going a long way. I think it's really helping with this congressional district line. And I will try to share several of the proposals that are currently in the legislature through my e-news so folks can see several of the choices. But the bottom line for all the choices, in my opinion, are essentially reducing partisanship in the decision-making process so that we can get fair districts with less or no political interference. Thank you, Karen.
Suzanne, do you have a follow-up about legislative redistricting?
Yeah, just to echo what the senator said, there are a number of proposals. The two that the League is particularly in favor of are Senate Bill 22 and House Bill 722, both of which would set up an independent redistricting commission that would be made up of individuals from both major parties as well as third parties, and would have rules as to transparency and making sure that the public had input into the maps, as well as a bunch of other pieces. But as the senator said, it's hard to change the rules. This would require a constitutional amendment, which makes it even more difficult. But there are certainly hundreds of very active advocates out there who have been working very hard to make this a reality in Pennsylvania.
Karen, thank you very much for your question. We're going to go right now to a question that was submitted online from Leslie, and she says, I've heard the trend will be going to creating districts by computer to make the process more fair. Is that something we can look forward to? And she said, I still don't understand what happens now that the first date, I assume on the court order, is not being met. Can Senator and Suzanne, can we follow up on that?
What do you think, Suzanne?
Sure. Sure, I can try. You can fill in what I miss. So the while the legislature was required to have maps to the governor by the 9th, there are, at least based on what's been reported in the press today, a number of ways that they are looking at accomplishing that. And additionally, the court, in their opinion, which is separate from the order, in their opinion indicated that they were more concerned about the February 15th date, that final date to get the maps from the Pennsylvania government, from the legislature and the executive branch, than they were the date of the 9th. That being said, we are kind of in uncharted territory right now, and it's one step at a time, and we will see kind of what happens when we get there.
I couldn't agree more. And given that the Supreme Court is still calling the shots, and the Supreme Court has reserved for itself its own power to draw the maps if all else fails as a last resort, and it would only be as a last resort, I believe we have a path toward conclusion that can produce fair maps for the Commonwealth and the citizens of Pennsylvania.
Leslie, thank you very much for your question. I know, Senator, that we've requested some extra time this evening because we have a good discussion going. So that we'll try to get as many questions on as we possibly can. So, Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. And this is a follow-up, basically, dealing with the court case itself. This is from Donna. Donna, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yeah. Why won't the Republicans turn over the data that they used to create the current map?
Thank you, Donna. That's a question. I do not know the answer to that question, but I understand you're exactly right. They have refused to do so. What is in the information that they think they need to conceal, what they need to hide from the court, we don't really know. But the refusal to share the information would appear to be based upon wanting to hide something. And we don't know what it is. I'm not sure that we will ever know. One easy way to put your cards on the table is to share what you got. And you're right, they refuse to do so. It's extremely suspicious.
Suzanne?
I'll just leave it with the senator on that one.
Okay, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Marie. Marie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood. Marie, are you there? Sounds like we've lost Marie. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Thelma. Thelma, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello, Senator Haywood. First, I would like to say that I appreciate these telephone town hall meetings because people like me who work hours where they cannot attend regular meetings during normal business hours miss out a lot. Okay. So I do appreciate having these meetings set up because I can get information and be included even if I'm washing my dishes.
Glad. Thank you, Selma.
That's one thing. I just hope other people take advantage of it. But my question is there a regulation, a standard, or some type of protocol as far as how the districts are drawn, or was there ever one? Is it always that the legislative body that has the majority are allowed to do this?
So I think that,
is there the same number of people in each district or
yes.
The same number of mountains? I mean, is there any type of protocol as to how this is done? Anything written on paper that
yes.
How?
Yes, thank you so much. So number one, the population of every congressional district has to be roughly the same. And now it's about 700,000, but every congressional district has to have roughly the same number of individuals. So that is one standard across the entire nation and across the state, roughly the same number of individuals. Second, as Suzanne has shared, there are standards for compactness, but what she also shared, I think, is hard for us to appreciate. And let me just, it's even hard for me to appreciate. Let me just tell you what I think she said. I heard Suzanne, really for the first time, clarify to me that the difference between the maps of 2011 and the maps of, say, 1981 is that in 2011, we have the technology to draw maps at a very precise level. We can take an address out of a district. We can take a block out of a district because of the current status of our computer technology and our mapping technology. 30 years ago, we didn't have that level of sophistication so that we could target block by block. So therefore, the maps were drawn in bigger chunks from because of the capacity of the technology. So the technology that we have now has enabled extreme partisanship in the drawings. And so when we compare, we ask the question, why is it different now than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago? Is the partisanship higher now than it was 30 years ago? No. The means to the end have changed. The technology allows for this precise drawing to get one party out and another party in, and that, I think, is core to why this challenge has come in this year, not 10, 15, 30 years ago.
Thelma, thank you very much. Suzanne, do you have anything to add?
I don't. I think that that really captures it. The other complicated piece about redistricting is that while there are traditional redistricting standards, what those mean hasn't always been clearly defined by either the courts or the legislatures. So we have words like compactness and continuity, but what those mean when they get translated into actual district shapes, particularly through the lens of this very precise technology, is sometimes up in the air and unclear.
Thelma, thank you very much for your question. Senator, at this point, I want to go back over the poll question, which is, do you support legislation that would have a nonpartisan commission create districts for the next redistricting? If you do, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. I'm going to go back to a submitted question. And this question is from Teresa in Flowertown. At this point, her question is this. At this point, what do you suggest that the average voter do to help fight gerrymandering?
The average voter has a tremendous amount of power because voters determine who is in the legislature. And there are voters who in 2014 decided they wanted to vote for on an education agenda, and they chose candidates that were for or against their education agenda. Voters can decide on whether a candidate is for or against maybe the tax agenda that they have, for or against taxation. And so this is another area where voters can do a scorecard to determine who they want to be for or against. If they're for fair districts, you may want to be with them. If they're not, you may want to be against them. But voters make the decision as to who is going to be representing them in the legislature. So I would say that that's one way. Use the power of vote, your vote, to make a decision on who you want to represent you based upon this issue, as well as many others. The second thing is that citizens can do is, in between elections, citizens can lobby and advocate on issues that are important to them. Fair Districts PA is one organization that has done so. The League of Women Voters is another organization. So there are several organizations that are very active trying to get fair districts. I would encourage voters to join an organization that is trying to make an impact. And I have seen in my time in the legislature, which hasn't been that long, but I have seen the power of voters when they're well organized in a statewide coalition, a difference can be made.
Teresa, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Tony. Tony, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Let me see. I forgot my question.
Don't worry about it.
Tony, were you going to ask about the resources as a result of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Since we have since there's fewer people in the city and in the suburban areas, does that mean we will be getting less funding for programs?
That's an excellent question. Thank you very much, Tony. Some federal funding is related to population. And so I would say population does count. Population does count for certain types of funding from the national government. So if we do have a decline in the population of Pennsylvania, it may have an impact on some funding that's based on what's called per capita, per person. And so, yes, that can happen and has happened in the past.
Tony, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Rosemary. Rosemary, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood. Thank you for taking these calls and arranging the town hall meetings. I have a question about, you talked about how they're scrolling and analyzing the data to determine where to divide the lines for the different districts. What kinds of questions are they looking for? Is it based on how the education's being funded, if that's one of the issues, or is there other material that they're looking at to determine how people will vote? I'm curious about that. I'd like to know how they determine how people will vote.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rosemary. And we're going to continue to have these telephone town halls. A core allegation, I think Suzanne will be able to address this more effectively than I could, but part of the key claim is that the district lines were based upon party affiliation, voter registration, and that looking at voter registration records was a core to determining where district lines would be drawn. Suzanne, what have you found?
Yeah, so voter registration certainly is a piece of it, like the senator said. Also, just past voting history. While they can't link a single person to a single vote, they can tell kind of the voting breakdown in certain precincts or certain polling places. And then it's even more than that, right? So we know that the way that data is collected now through things like what magazines you subscribe to and what other, what internet activity a person has. There's ways to kind of look at and create a profile of an individual. And then social scientists and marketers have figured out how to match that profile of an individual with what they are likely to do in the voting booth. So it's a combination of actual voter data as far as what votes have been cast and where how people are registered, as well as kind of predictive data based on habits of an individual.
Rosemary, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, good evening, Senator Haywood. I'm Barbara from Germantown, and my question is in reference to the census. I want to know how accurate is the count from the census, because from my understanding, I thought that we have over 400,000 people that have moved into the Philadelphia area, so why should we really be losing anything with that amount of people that have came into Philadelphia to live in the last 10 years?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara. The census accuracy has been disputed over the years. So it is the standard that we have used with all its flaws, and it is a standard that we have used. And, of course, there's criticisms regarding the census from across the nation, not just in Pennsylvania. It's a standard that we've used. And I would say that when you look at the number of people into Philadelphia or any other region in Pennsylvania, that's part of the story. But the other part of the story would be where people are leaving Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a huge state. And so even though we may get more people into Philadelphia County, we may lose people in other counties in the state. And there are some parts of our state which have lost significant population as a result of the decline of coal mining, the steel industry. These are areas where populations have declined significantly. I think a friend of mine mentioned that Johnstown was a town that has lost more than half of their population over the years. So even though we may be growing in the east, there are some parts of the state that have suffered significant decline.
Barbara, thank you very much for your question. I want to go over the results of the poll questions this evening. The first one was, do you support the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's effort to create fair congressional districts for the 2018 elections? 91% of those who responded support that, 9% do not. Our second poll question was, do you support legislation that would have a nonpartisan commission create districts for the next redistricting? 89% support that proposal, and 11% do not. Senator, we're coming down to the home stretch here. I know you have some closing remarks for the folks that have joined us.
Thank you very much, you. And thank you, Suzanne. You did a tremendous job. Thank you so much for joining the call. This was a tremendous telephone town hall discussion. I want to thank all those who listened in and to those who shared their opinions and asked questions. It's been a great discussion. If you did not have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at www.senatorhaywood.com. Have a good evening.
I would like to thank all those who have joined us here this evening. I'd like to thank Senator Haywood and Suzanne Almeida from the League of Women Voters. It was a wonderful discussion, and have a pleasant evening.